For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
It's a tap-in.
Live from New York City, it's The Rich Eisen Show.
It's back-to-back for McElroy.
Today's guests, host of The View and Academy Award winner, Whoopi Goldberg, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, ESPN broadcaster Joe Tessitore, ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. If you're watching us, you can see that we're not in Los Angeles, California. We're in New York City today and Tuesday after I spent the weekend in Memphis, Tennessee at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Everybody go to stjude.org/runrichrun to start donating to that run that I ran this weekend. I'm in one piece, thankfully, fresh off of a sports center in Bristol, Connecticut that went down on Sunday night. Now I'm here with you at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. As everyone can see, Chris Brockman, good to see you sitting right next to me here in New York City.
You're not limping. You look pretty spry.
I walked in. I'm standing up straight. Like, I'm walking around. I actually ran it twice, too.
Oh.
Made it through. So we are here. Meanwhile, Mike Del Tufo and TJ Jefferson are back in the Los Angeles studios. Good to see you, Mikey D.
What's going on?
And then there's TJ.
What's cracking?
TJ, hey, candle lit. I got to see you.
I got some new candles yesterday. Of course, left them at home this morning. So we'll have the candle back tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Good to know. So you're not with us here because you've got no contest wrestling. No, stop it. You've got big no contest wrestling shows to do there in Los Angeles before you go to WrestleMania this weekend.
Yeah, we do.
Correct?
We have a great guest tomorrow. You know, a lot of people consider Ric Flair to be the greatest professional wrestler of all time, so it's pretty amazing that he has a child who is also considered to be the best at what they do. His daughter, Charlotte Flair, will be joining us tomorrow, and we're really looking forward to having Charlotte, the queen.
And then you'll be in, you and O'Shea will be at WrestleMania this weekend. And just a few minutes ago, we ran into Joe Tessitore in the green room here in the Bob Iger building, the Hudson Studios of Disney.
No test.
Joe Tess is going to join us in hour number three. Yeah.
He's going to be busy WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Joe Tess. Yeah.
WrestleMania 42. Joe Tess is going to be joining us in hour number three. Matt Miller joining us in hour number three as well, as the NFL draft is 10 days away. Ian Rappaport's making his way to the studio. So, Chris, you and I are going to have a chop it up with Ian much of hour two.
Love that.
It's an overreaction Monday.
Sure is.
So that'll be hour two. But making her way down the hallway from the view set that's right in the basement here.
Some doors and take a left.
Whoopi Goldberg's coming here. I know, TJ, you're upset about not being here for Whoopi
by. It's amazing. It's
program.
Whoopi Goldberg, man. She's a legend. But at least someone with locks will be representing on the show today, even if it's not me. So
okay,
we got that going.
Locks in L.A.
Got to keep the streak alive.
It was funny. It was when we saw Joe Tess in the green room. It was me and you, Chris, and Sean Mitchell, Rich Eisen, show digital coordinating producer. All of us are bald. I felt
beautiful,
like Robert Sala.
Bald man. Like,
don't worry, we have people with hair
and
on the staff.
Joe Tess walks in with his beautiful black locks.
So let's start this show with the green jacket conversation.
Yeah, buddy.
And I know you're a Rory guy.
I am.
And last year, he was the feel-good story, if you will, trying to win his first green jacket in his 16th attempt. And then in so doing, would complete a career Grand Slam, which only a handful of players have ever done. And we all know he needed every shot, every inch of Augusta National extra holes to actually pull that thing off against Justin Rose, who finished in second place for the third time in his Masters career. And we went off the air on Friday, and you're like, it looks like Rory is just going to go pretty much wild.
He got off to a hot start, and then throughout the afternoon, you know, the lead balloons to six, and it's the largest midway point Masters lead of all time.
Yes.
It looks like this could be an absolute runaway, and the monkey's now off his back, and he's free and clear to just dominate. And then, you know, the course bit back.
Well, and so did everyone else, too, on Saturday, and why it's called Moving Day at Augusta, and why we keep saying that the best part about Augusta National in many ways about the playing. I always love the fact that there's no cell phones there and people can actually live in the moment and see how things are going around on the course as they're watching some hand operated scoreboard pop the leaderboard up. Like, people are learning that way about an event that you could watch on an app if you're outside the grounds. But the best part of Augusta National, the playing, is that no lead is safe and also no deficit is too large essentially to overcome.
Exactly.
And going into Saturday, Rory McIlroy had this stat in his favor. 32 of the previous 35 Masters winners were within four shots of the lead going into Saturday. And going into Saturday, no player was in four shots of the lead of Rory McIlroy, but that doesn't matter when you're Scottie Scheffler, who shot a 65.
Yeah, he was 12 shots back going into the weekend.
And Cameron Young, who shot a 65. Two guys shot 65. Rory goes one over, and all of a sudden, with Justin Rose now also doing his thing, and Sam Burns sticking around at the top five, we had ourselves a big fat Sunday of Masters competition. And sure enough, Rory loses the lead within four holes to start.
Yeah,
Masters
and
Sunday.
After he three jacks number four, he's now three down.
He was, and Justin Rose was the one who started filling the void. Then he makes the turn. He has back-to-back bogeys on 11 and 12, two of three bogeys in the back nine. Adios. Cameron Young starts to falter himself. He couldn't put the shots together. Golf is just amazing.
It is. Cameron Young had the hottest putter maybe, you know, on Friday and Saturday. I looked this up on the second nine, Rich Eisen. He had 11 birdies in the first three rounds on Sunday, nine pars.
And Scheffler became a parring machine as well on Sunday.
I think he went 9 or 10 straight holes with a par.
Until he hit 15. Then he birdies.
After being 16 in the trees on his tee shot.
Correct. And then 16. He fires one exactly where you need to have it on 16, which is to the right of the flag, about 20 feet, and let it roll down.
Slope, rolls down.
And then jars that birdie.
Is Scotty going to win
And then
this?
17 happens, and that's one of the toughest holes to birdie. And he has a birdie putt that just misses the hole.
I mean, it looked like Jack Nicklaus, the famous, yes, sir, coming down the hill, and it was right there, and it, like, as close as you could possibly get to not going in, and it just didn't drop.
And so that way, Rory has everything going in his favor, and all he needs to do is just stay out of the water, essentially. Mm-hmm. And on 15, Firethorn, as it's known on the scorecard in Augusta National, and I did not know this about him, but Nance mentioned this, I do believe, either during Friday or Saturday's coverage of the Masters.
CBS.
And, well, Paramount Plus and ESPN and Amazon.
Everywhere.
And, okay, so, but on ESPN as well. So that I didn't know that Rory started a new production company.
Mm-hmm.
And calls it Firethorn Productions.
Oh.
Because 15 has been very, very good to him.
Oh, interesting.
At Augusta, including the shot of his life.
Of course, last year.
In last year's win. Yep. And now this year, he's at Firethorn with a three-shot lead.
And he played it safe. He laid up. Well, got 100 yards in.
I thought he put that one in the water. And I think he did, too. You saw he bent down.
I think he did.
And he was talking to it. Mm-hmm. And it hit. I think it hit a foot beyond where it would have bounced back in the creek.
Yeah, and it weirdly, I mean, you hit that shot
straight up
100 times and probably 99 of them have the backspin and it pulls it back.
Yeah.
That one weirdly took a bounce and hopped forward and stayed.
And then he nukes he nukes his tee shot on 16 beyond the hole. And
well,
he's off
in the
green.
Tiger chip spot.
And then he puts it to basically almost replicate what Tiger did.
It was unbelievable.
To par that.
Yep.
17.
He's got to hit his approach shot right. He has to chip it. Gets it to within a foot. His short game was unbelievable.
And then all he's got to do is just bogey 18. And he hits a drive like I would have done.
It was so far
and
right.
My favorite. I don't know if we've got a Getty image of this or not, or a shot of it for our television broadcast, but the shot of Rory McIlroy finding his ball in the pine straw, needing to get the patrons
to
move.
By the way, on next to the 10th fairway.
Correct. And the look that he had on his face, okay, but I'll describe it. The look that he had on his face is the look I have on my face about 90% of the time when I play golf, which is, I cannot believe I just did this.
Right.
I cannot believe I am in this place. Mm-hmm. I am an awful person with bad karma and no talent. Now, he can get rid of the talent part because the shot, next shot he hits, he hooks it around the tree and he gets it right into the front.
Just what he was trying to do.
All he's got
to
do is basically get it on the green and then two putt, and that's what he does to win the green jacket. But it's just amazing how you can go from having a career Grand Slam, playing with house money all weekend, or butler cabin money as we were talking about, all weekend. Then you get to 18 and you're right there for your second green jacket in a row. But moments before, you are hating yourself.
Yeah, you're like
underneath the tree, standing on the pine straw. It's just such a golf moment that just again, lends more humanity for him as he is. The photograph we're showing here now before his celebration was him realizing he put his hands in his,
on
his face.
After he got it right to two inches
and he knew, I'm going to tap in for my second green jacket. And he let it, I guess the realization finally hit him here. And what he does is joins Tiger, Jack, and Nick Faldo as the only back-to-back champions in the history of this amazing event. But he is forever, probably, the record holder now of something that I can't imagine would ever be beaten, which is the longest stretch of not winning your first of anybody who's won two in a row. That's unbelievable. He went 16 years without one, and now he's got two in a row.
Yeah, almost more than 10 years without a major at all, and now wins back-to-back Masters. I mean, I said it last year. If you were a Rory McIlroy fan, you got the full experience over the weekend. The guy does something no one's ever done before. He has a six-shot lead going into the weekend. You think this is going to be a coronation. He's going to shoot 20 under and win by 10 shots. He gives the lead away in one day and then finds himself three back after four holes on Sunday and ends up ultimately kind of cruising to the win, albeit the drama on 18 in the last like six holes. We didn't even talk about the incredible tee shot on 12. No one goes after the pin on 12 on Sunday.
Right.
He hit the most perfect shot to 6 feet, hits birdie there, and it kind of felt like it was almost over at that point.
And so if there was a sense that you thought that him already having one jacket in the closet and a career Grand Slam completed, that allowed him the freedom to win a second one, and I think he'd agree with it.
I thought it was so difficult to win last year because of trying to win the Masters and the Grand Slam, and then this year I realized it's just really difficult to win the Masters. I tried to convince myself it was both, but just incredible. You know, I obviously did the bulk of my work on Thursday and Friday, and, you know, I don't think I would have believed anyone if they said to me, you know, all you have to do is shoot even par for the weekend and you'll win. But yeah, just absolutely delighted to be able to get it done. You know, having a 6-shot lead going into the weekend, it would have been a bitter pill to swallow if I wasn't able to get myself over the finish line.
Just again, one to root for, you know,
no doubt.
And he just had to. And this is the mental part about it. You just can't take your foot off the pedal. You can't keep your hands on 10 and 2 at Augusta, because if you're too cute, too careful, that's when you're going to get bit.
Yeah, it's almost like a prevent defense in the NFL.
Right.
Prevents you from winning.
And so he talked about staying aggressive, which is just remarkable, again, that this is the mental game that you play, that somebody at his level has to play with himself to try and win a second jacket in a row.
Going back to last year, you know, I had that 3 or 4 shot cushion going to the 13th tee, and I started to be a little defensive. I hit 3-wood off the tee, tried to play it as a 3-shotter. That came back to bite me a little bit. So today I stayed aggressive, even though I hit 3 really poor tee shots on 13 the first 3 days. I just stayed aggressive, and finally I made a good swing and hit a good tee shot and left myself an 8-iron in, which was, you know, it could have been a more routine birdie if I had hit a better second shot, but you know, was able to putt it down there to within 8 feet and hold that putt. So I think staying aggressive and staying committed, you know, that especially on those two holes, definitely served me this week.
If you had told me that after Saturday's moving day, and how everybody caught up, that Scottie Scheffler would become the first player at the Masters to have a bogeyless weekend since Byron Nelson did it in 1942.
Crazy.
I would have thought Rory would lose to Scheffler.
Yep. By multiple shots.
By multiple shots.
Yeah.
And he still didn't. Scheffler finished second. Was right there. And, you know, Scheffler and Rose and Young and Burns, just to name four, are probably the ones who are walking around today, you know, like going through this shot or whatever.
Yep.
And obviously the fact that Scheffler has one, he can at least be able to get to sleep a little bit sooner, you know. It was remarkable. And I just sit here and wonder, can he go 3 in a row? Like, I know that's not fair to even say now.
It's not, but Rich, I'm having the same thoughts. I mean, Fred Couples said it after Friday's round. Is this guy ever going to lose here now?
Again, right? I know.
And now you're wondering, how many more majors is Rory going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get to, like, he already tied Phil now at 6. Can he get to 7?
That'd be amazing.
Can he get to 8? Is he going to threaten double digits? It seems like he's playing as good a golf as he's ever played right now at 37 years old.
Did you see, just one last one, and then we'll throw it a break, Whoopi Goldberg's making her way to our set right now, that Scheffler, after his 65, was asked by a member of the media about what, you know, what he should have or could have done.
Well,
like, you shot a 65, but you think about what you should have or could have done. And he's just like, he next questioned the guy and then said it was a stupid question. Because could you imagine, I think this all the time, Shane Lowry aces 6 on Sunday, has multiple aces at the Masters now in his career. First guy to do that. And I'm thinking to myself, could you imagine having any of these moments for one split second in your life at the Masters, in this setup, in this spot, in front of those patrons, on TV, everybody watching, everybody talking, one shot. And instead you put a 65 together on a Saturday at the Masters, and somebody's like, could you gotten 63, 62? I would have had the same. I do not blame him at all was, for having that reaction.
I think, was it last year or the year before, someone asked Brooks Koepka, like, hey, do you think a 59 is possible here? And he goes, so you've never played here before.
No, right? Great. It's stupid. Because yeah. If you throw it in the right spot, you're rewarded. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're not.
That's simple.
And it's
that simple.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I know you could say that about any golf course, but this one in particular, more than any other, and no other golf course and no other event makes me want to go tee it up right away more than the Masters.
We're playing this afternoon, right?
We are not.
Oh, dang it.
We are not. But we are here on the Rich Eisen Show here in New York City. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Joe Tessitore and Matt Miller in hour three. Ian Rappaport in hour two to give us everything 10 days out of the draft. We're going to chop it up with him. I'll talk about my weekend, if much as you're interested.
Yeah, buddy, I want all
Sports Center last night. I'm working on about 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, man, didn't even get to say congrats. That was so cool.
I appreciate it. No, that was that was pretty cool. We'll hit on all of that. And thank you. I appreciate that, TJ. I got an LFG text from him just as I went on the air. My phone is buzzing. I'm like, who's texting me right now?
Well, you went on a little early.
I know we did.
Yeah.
I know, because Inside the NBA tapped out a couple of segments earlier than we thought. But at any rate, it was great to see those guys on ESPN and right before I pop on Bristol. But let's take a break. Whoopi Goldberg is going to join us right here on the Rich Eisen Show in New York City. EGOT winner coming in. Wow.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids, gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
For some of us, personal finances aren't just personal. They include a lot more people than ourselves. Loved ones, neighbors, the communities we call home, and the causes we hold in our hearts. At Thrivent, we help plan your financial picture with the bigger picture in mind. Because even though our business is helping guide your finances, our ambition is to make it mean so much more. Thrivent, where money means more. Connect with us at Thrivent.com.
Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Whoopi Goldberg here on the Rich Eisen Show, and our radio audience just rejoined our broadcast. I'm so psyched to have you here. You just mentioned tennis. I imagine if you had Venus Serena on your show.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Because I remember when I first started doing SportsCenter in the 90s and the early aughts with Stuart Scott, who I know you crossed paths with quite a bit back in the day. Which may be the last time I saw you.
Might be.
But I remember Serena, when she started, it was like, well, here comes the sister.
Yeah.
Can she be any as good as Venus? And it's like, yeah.
You know, I think people had a very interesting feeling about them because they couldn't believe what they were seeing with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't believe two sisters could be playing the way that they did. But, you know, you think about all the, for me, the black women who played tennis, the ones we never heard about, and the ones we did hear about that we don't talk about now, like Althea Gibson. Mm-hmm. You know, that we don't talk about her. She was extraordinary. I mean, when you think about the women who were out there doing these things, it, you know, they were, at the time for us, they were one-offs. Now,
right.
we know where the women are. We know what they're playing. But when I was a kid, they were really one-offs, you know, and to see women playing tennis, I know it seems dopey, but Billie Jean was all I knew.
Yeah.
You know, really, I mean, you saw the people that she played, but you remembered Billie Jean.
Well, I mean, she created basically women's tennis the
way
that we currently know it as today.
Yeah.
And is such a major a titan when it comes to sports. So let's talk about the All Women's Sport Network that you co-founded.
Yeah.
Why did you feel the need to get something started like that?
Because I talked about this with whoever was in charge many years ago.
Uh-huh.
At ESPN and said, why? I would like to see this happen. I have some ideas. And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, thank you. And they would say, people would say things to me at all the networks. They would say things like, oh, well, you know, nobody wants to see women's sports. But I did. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I wanted to see it, maybe other people did too. And then I started traveling in the world and I wanted to see what other people were doing. And so our network is the All Women's Sports Network, and it covers women's sports throughout the world, whatever sport they're playing. And, you know, we've got the wrestlers, we've got the tennis players, we've got the hockey players, we've got the roller derby queens. We've got as many sports as you can name, and some that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Because for lots of women around the world, this is their way that they can be in a group of women doing stuff and not get any hassle. These are ways of women coming forward and putting themselves forward to do different stuff. And because I always knew, you know, in the old days, you know, you used to be able to, you had to own an NBA team in order to be part of a WNBA team.
Mm-hmm.
I never owned an NBA team. I knew people that owned, but they weren't looking for me to come in and be part of it.
Right.
Now, you know, you see what's happening with the WNBA. And I'm so proud of them because they didn't stop. They didn't stop fighting. And I know it sounds like we, as women, are kvetching a lot about what we're not getting. But when you see these women play,
mm-hmm.
they are worth their weight in gold. They are doing the work that their male counterparts are doing. And they're doing that in all of the sports. There's not a sport that's being played that isn't being played equally well by women, except people aren't used to seeing women do. They're not used to seeing women play football. I love the female football league. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could play. I wish I could run,
right.
You know, but I can't,
right.
You know, but there are so many things so I wanted to see it. And suddenly about a year and a half ago, someone said, oh, I'll help you do that. And I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 18 years I've been trying to get this done. He said, no, we'll do it. So we got with a group called the Jungle Network, and they've put us on around the world. You can find us in lots of different places. I think we probably sent you all the information to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of groovy.
Yeah, it delivers live coverage, original programming from some of the world's most prestigious sports organizations, FIBA, WNBL, UEFA, Athletes Unlimited, the global TV network that you're talking about right now. And then you just mentioned the WNBA, which is having the draft tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that everything you just talked about how they need better pay, need better a better arrangement. That's what they were talking about, their collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
You know, like they went to the mat.
And a little more respect,
right.
You know, because it's not like they're sucking lollipops out there. These girls are kicking butt.
Yeah.
They are not fooling around. You know, they play like I remember people playing.
Yes.
You know, they play hard and they don't, you know, they don't need to be like like,
oh no, you can't tell Sophie Cunningham that if she's making sure you don't touch Caitlin Clark, for instance, you know,
and,
and they're still teammates and you know, the social media aspect of it, the burgeoning dollars that are coming in, they're, you know, women's sports, certainly WNBA, softball. We were just, we had softball highlights on SportsCenter last night, Texas and Oklahoma. Volleyball is becoming much more significant. I mean, I could go down the list here of what women's sports.
We cover it.
Well, I know. I know
we cover it all.
And I was telling you about the show Women's Sports Now, this show, along with Hello Sunshine and Firefly and Apex. And there's so many different other people coming together for an hour-long show that we've got going on ESPN Plus and ESPN, you know.
ESPN, I'm saying to you, we should all be doing this together.
Okay.
Because our point is, you know, women are doing amazing things in sports and we should all be covering everything and to be in bed with the preeminent sports network and take y'all, I mean, y'all are worldwide, but to take y'all through the world as we go through would be wonderful. I know that's the wrong thing. I'm not supposed to be saying stuff like that. Well, because you're not supposed to say, hey, listen, let's get in this bed together. Let's make this bed bigger. I think I'm not supposed to say things like that, but if I don't, no one will know that I want to be in bed with them. I don't know if that sounds as right as I mean it.
Business. The business bed.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the business bed.
Yes, and the large,
you know,
the California king size.
That's right.
Of the
Jagunda bed.
The world's wide enough.
That's right.
You know,
that's
right. They would say in Hamilton, you know, the world is wide enough for this sort of thing. And you could see, again, tonight it's the 30th WNBA draft tonight.
Man, it's exciting. Yeah. I mean, I get choked up, you know, because they're going to be where they need to be. And I lived long enough to see this happening.
You never had a jump shot ever?
Yeah, look. No.
No?
Never had a jump shot. I was a great runner. You know what I was? I was a really good runner.
Okay.
Because I could go straight. If I was going in a straight line, I was great. If I need to carry something with me and throw it, not so much. Not so much, but I could run my little tail off.
Okay, very good. If you don't mind, let's take a break. I'd love to come back and talk to you about your acting.
Oh.
And your movie career. And TV
career. Sure.
Yeah, of course.
I'll talk to you about anything, anytime.
I appreciate that. All right, we're here on The Rich Eisen Show with Whoopi Goldberg live in downtown Manhattan here on Disney Plus and ESPN Radio. We're back in a second.
Rich Eisen here. Every time I travel for a major sports moment, whether it's a playoff run or a huge primetime matchup, I see firsthand what happens to a city. Hotels fill up fast. Energy builds. Everyone wants to be part of it. Now imagine that on a global scale. The FIFA World Cup is coming this summer, people, and with it, thousands of fans traveling to host cities across the country. If you happen to live in one of those cities and you're planning to be away, maybe you've got your own summer trip lined up, this could be a practical opportunity. While you're gone, you could list your space on Airbnb and welcome traveling fans who want to experience the FIFA World Cup in person. You're not changing your routine. You're not committing to anything year-round. You're simply making the most of a moment when your city is in the global spotlight. I know when I'm on the road for a huge event, having a comfortable home base makes all the difference. And that's what fans will be searching for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at Airbnb.com/host.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
He said they feel that you'll bring people out of the movie when they see you.
Because you were already a known commodity.
I was a commodity,
right.
Yeah. And I said, well, but, I mean, that doesn't make any sense because when I see Marlon Brando, I think, oh, there's Marlon Brando. I don't spend the whole movie going, why is Marlon Brando in this movie? What is Marlon Brando doing in it? And he said, well, they don't want you. And then they cast the movie, and the person they casted was said to them, how come Whoopi Goldberg isn't doing this movie?
No way.
Yes, Patrick Swayze. He said, well, I don't know if I want to commit to this until we find out if she would do it, because I think I should do it with her. And, you know, he was Jagunda at the time. And right. and so I was shooting a movie in Alabama at the time, and my agent called to the area, who then sent a runner to find me because we didn't have cell phones. So, you know, it took 20 minutes to get the call. But the call was, you remember that movie they didn't want you for? I said, yeah. He said, well, the actor says he wants to read with you if you're interested. I said, I'm interested, sure. I said, who is it? He said, Patrick Swayze. I said, and he wants to read with me? I said, yeah. Does he know where I am? He said, yeah, they're coming. They want to come down to where you are. So Patrick Swayze and young Mr. Abrams got on the plane and came down, and we hung out, and it was a match made in heaven, because he was extraordinary. As you think he might be, he was even better. And we created this movie that, you know, lives on.
Today.
Yeah.
It stands the test of time.
Yeah, it does.
It's like an unbreakable movie.
Yeah.
It's perfect in almost every way. Yeah. And your character in it, you're awesome, but you probably heard that before. You're perfect for that role. So when did you know that it was as special as we now know it to be?
We didn't really know until we saw it. Because, you know, you make the movie and you think you're being fabulous and brilliant.
Right.
And then it comes out and you go, oh, is that what we were doing? It's the editor who helps shape with the director what they want to see. And we hadn't seen, we had only seen what we had done. And suddenly we got to see the whole movie and it was just like, do you remember making this movie? It's like, no, but this is good.
It's amazing.
You know, yeah.
Sure. What's your favorite scene from it that you're proud of from Ghost?
I think, well, I'll tell you, my favorite scene is when he's leaving and he says, it's the love. You know, it always gets me because that's what you remember. That's what you take with you, is the love. And whenever I see it, it just starts the tears rolling. Because that's what I like to think. I think about that. I think about the love of my mom and the love of my big brother. And and that's what, I hope that's what they have with them, is all my love for them.
So it's not the comedy parts or your comedic, I guess,
well,
I guess your role, the laughs that you brought to an otherwise real serious subject matter?
Well, I think like life, it rolls the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is funny and some of it is sad. I mean, she's a fake, but is she? You know, and suddenly you are able to do things you didn't know you could do. My favorite thing is probably the one that people always talk about, which is the nun who is trying to get me to let go of of that check.
Yeah, right.
You know, and as you know, if somebody hands you a $1 million check, it is hard to let it go. It's hard to let it go. So, you know, I had a little tussle, but it was a wonderful movie to make, you know, and a cast that was superb, and a superb director and a superb writer. And it was just, it all came together.
Whoopi Goldberg here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned earlier that you didn't own an NBA team, but you coached one.
Yes, I did. Love that
coach
movie.
Of the New York Knickerbockers,
yeah.
Eddie.
Yeah.
What's your favorite memory from shooting that film?
Just getting to hang around with so many of the players. I mean.
Look at that.
I mean, that is just, look at Rick Fox.
Yeah, look at him right there. And Mark Jackson.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where's
John Sally?
Yeah.
In the back there.
There he is.
Yeah.
And Tiny. Where's Tiny?
Where's, I don't.
Is Nate Archibald in there?
Nate Tiny's somewhere in there. I don't know. But
he's so small we can't find him.
Yes,
he's standing there, but we missed him.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting to hang out with all of these guys was heaven.
Does that include Rodman as well?
Yeah, I like Dennis, you know, because Dennis, to me, Dennis is very much like I was.
Yeah.
He was his own self. He was who he was, and he made no apologies for it. And everybody didn't get it, and that was okay.
Right.
You know, he got it, and he did the things he wanted to do the way he wanted to do them, and he played hard. You know, he played hard, and he was present. You know, and that's all you can ask of anybody.
Did you shoot during Knick games at any point in time, or did you? Or
I think we shot. Yeah, I think we created. But I tell you, it is still one of my favorite movies. You know, we've been spending all this time trying to get Sister Act remade. Maybe we should have been spending time trying to get Eddie remade. But they don't need me now, you know, because they're on their way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's good.
Pretty cool being in Madison Square Garden, right?
Wow.
That you're the coach of the Knicks.
Yeah.
They might have hired you this past year. They needed a coach.
Well, you know, I did kind of hint at it, but
Nobody bit on it. How did you get your start? How did that start for you?
I always wanted to be lots of different things as a little kid.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wanted to go to the moon. I wanted to...
Be on Artemis 2 before there was Artemis 1.
You
right?
know, uh-huh. I wanted to do all this. I wanted to be a tightrope walker. I wanted to be a circus clown. And the more film I watched, the more I realized, oh, I can do all of those things if I can do that.
Right.
Or if I can be on a stage, I can do that. And so I started on stage as a little kid because I just, you know, it seemed like a good thing at the time, and now really this is the thing I really love. I mean, I don't mind doing the talking stuff.
Sure,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
But I'm a really good actor, and I like it, and I'm proud to say that I have a very groovy career. It's the career I think I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't always go the way I wanted it to go, but.
Right.
That's life.
But the role that you have in The View and the show it is, I mean, that you'd have to break from it for a bit in order to get back into a movie.
Oh, yeah,
right?
And I do.
Well, do you, I mean, how much acting are you doing?
Well, I was gone for almost a month because I got to go to Italy to be part of an Italian soap opera.
What?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. My Italian is questionable,
okay.
But as is my English. So it's still, you know, it's still, I like doing things that I've never done before.
Right.
I like doing things that interest me. And I'm still waiting for a horror movie because I'm desperate to do one.
That's the one you want, that's missing?
That's the one that's missing.
Why?
I don't know. I think people think I was too nice to be in a horror movie, that you would never suspect me as the... As the monster, and that's why it's I'm the perfect monster because I want to be in the movie.
You want to be the person who's doing the horror.
Yes, I want to be the horror in the horror movie.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, maybe we can make this sort of thing.
Because I love scary movies. I'm not a slasher fan. I'm not a fan of things that we can actually see happen. I like things that are under the bed, and the bed is breathing, and you don't know why. And you're not in the bed with anyone.
You like the jump scare?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yes, I do.
I would never have guessed that.
But I also want to be a race car driver because I love fast.
Okay.
I love fast.
You might be able to mix the two.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I once rode in the back of a very fast car with Mario Andretti driving it, and I was horrified.
Really?
I was screaming. I was jump scared. That was wild. And I'm like, this is Mario Andretti. He clearly knows what the hell he's doing.
Well, when you're in the when you're in the bed with the best.
Yes.
You're in the bed with the best.
That's what
you know. And you are screaming.
I was out of my mind. I try to keep my inner monologue from coming out because there was a camera on me. I wanted to look like I was staying.
You didn't want to cuss anybody out.
Oh, I was screaming.
Well, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure, please.
What sport would you have played had you been able to go off and do that?
Baseball.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When I, you know, see Major League Baseball players, they're able to be in their 30s or, you know, for whatever reason, baseball is also the only sport where the coaches and the manager dress like the players. Could you imagine if an NFL coach dressed in a full pad and helmet? It'd be weird, you know? But that they get to put on a uniform every day like they're eight.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like they could just put a ball in a tee like they're five again.
Right.
And plus their money's guaranteed and they get pizzade.
Yeah.
Like, but I would have played baseball, you know, plus I had a Jewish mother, so she would never let me play football. You know, she would never let me, you know, do the tackle thing. But yeah, I would have done
what team?
Yankees.
Ah, yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And here's my other dopey question. Are baseball players getting taller?
Oh yeah, everybody is.
Everybody's okay. So it's not just.
Oh, everybody is.
Okay.
I mean, everybody is at the NFL scouting combine every year when all the NFL prospects come in.
Right.
Bigger, stronger, faster every year.
Really?
I don't know what's in the Wheaties. I have no idea. But yeah, but it's also women's sports too.
Yes.
And you're going to see Lauren Betts there tonight, 6'7". Yeah. You know, Cameron Brink a couple years ago. I saw a picture of her standing next to LeBron.
Yeah.
I think she's a little taller than LeBron.
Surprise me. See, I've always been used to very tall women.
Right.
I've always known. And, you know, the joke used to be, oh, she should be a basketball player. Well, now she is.
That's right. and better than you too.
Yeah. And kicking your behind.
More than likely, for sure.
Yeah.
So this has been an absolute delight.
Thank you
for coming here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's just make sure everyone understands the All Women's Sport Network, world's fastest growing and largest global TV network dedicated exclusively to women's sports. Available over 1 billion devices with a B, over 65 countries, and it's redefining how you can experience women's sports. Co-founded by you and Jungo TV?
Yes.
Okay, great. And then, of course, there's The View just down the hall.
Yeah.
If you ever want somebody like me to come on and mix it up, I'll do
that. I always want you to come on, but who knows when you're here?
I can let you know.
All right.
I can provide my view.
Okay.
I don't know if that, you know, if that... That's
well, you know what? Well, we talk to sports folks.
Yes. Okay.
I would appreciate talking to you.
I'll bring the noise.
About sports.
I'll do all of that sort of stuff.
You know.
And that's in its sixth consecutive season as America's most watched daytime talk show.
Really? Oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
I don't ask questions. I just cast a check.
By the way, you also have a Golden Globe. So it's an E triple G.
Got.
Yeah, you're an E.
Like a burp. Like a burp.
That's
an E burp.
You got it. That's right. Pretty cool. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. And I'll do this anytime. You'd be up for it anytime I'm in New York.
Okay, cool.
That's Whoopi Goldberg right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Yeah. The radio audience is going to return for hour number two. We're going to talk about the NFL draft. My NFL Network colleague Ian Rappaport will join us right here on Disney Plus and the ESPN app as well.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.